Welcome to the Physician Associate Podcast.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Physician Associate Podcast. Today I'm joined by Rema Syed, a PA in general surgery and the Physician Associate Ambassador for the Yorkshire and Humber region. Welcome to the show, Rema.
Thank you for having me, James.
It was really exciting to find you on social media as a Physician Associate in general surgery because I think you're a bit of a rare breed. I don't think there are many PAs in surgery at the moment, are there?
No, you're quite right there. We are quite a rare breed. Although we seem to be increasing in numbers on a daily basis, which is really exciting. But yes, I am on the push for increasing the number of job opportunities within surgical specialties for PAs.
So do you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you, PA training and PA school and that kind of stuff?
So I studied biomedical science at the University of Sheffield and graduated there in 2013. I then took up an opportunity through the International Citizen Service, which is a subgroup of the Department of International Development of the government, and volunteered in Central America in a country named El Salvador, which worked there for a year in youth and women empowerment projects. Also focusing on health projects. And at that time I was like, okay, I really want to go and pursue a career in health, but I didn't want to study medicine. And on my return, one of my friends actually showed me a university course poster about the physician associate role, and I looked into it further and graduated in 2017. And since then I have worked in a district general hospital in Yorkshire in general surgery. I form part of the physician associate team. There's myself and two other PAs. It really is a great specialty to work for, and I'm hoping that they're seeing the benefits of having surgical PAs at the moment, and hopefully in turn that will create more job opportunities.
Oh, that's perfect. Thanks, Rima. So my first question was around, could you just explain the sort of breadth of different specialties that physician associates work in the surgery?
Of course. So I recently started a surgical WhatsApp group to actually understand where physician associates working in surgical specialties were based and which specialties they were working in. From the ones that I know, the common specialties where PAs are working are upper GI, colorectal, vascular, urology, obstetrics and gynecology, trauma and orthopedics. And then we have kind of the niche specialties such as pediatric surgery, pediatric surgical oncology, and I think there are various other niche subspecialties, but I'm hoping to understand them further and get to know where they are, but at the moment they're the ones I know of. So if anybody else who's listening to this knows of any others, please do let James and I know.
Absolutely, please come on the podcast and talk about it. It's really cool to see the range of different areas that physician associates are working in. Which one are you in particular?
I originally formed part of the upper GI firm, but due to COVID and various staffing changes, I then became just a general surgical PA and covered vascular, urology and colorectal alongside upper GI. So I have an experience of all of them, but I'd say my expertise is mostly within upper GI and bariatrics.
Oh, awesome. Okay. And is that something that's kind of unique to physician associates to be able to work across different surgical specialties like that as being part of a generalist, or is that kind of common across different healthcare professionals?
I think it can be common amongst members of the extended surgical team. And by the extended surgical team, I mean roles such as advanced care practitioners, physician associates, surgical care practitioners, etc. I think it definitely depends on where you're working and the needs of your service. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how you'll probably end up delivering certain things. In the trust that I work in, because there's three physician associates within general surgery, it seemed sensible to share as amongst the main surgical specialties. And also when I do my on calls, I see patients from all of these specialties. So it works well.
Okay. So can you give us a little bit of a flavour of what your day-to-day job looks like as a physician associate in surgery?
So I start the ward around at 8 a.m. I then work alongside the members of the junior doctor team and other members of the extended surgical team to fulfil the jobs that have come about of the ward round. At that point, I will either continue to be on the ward and facilitate the jobs and help junior members of the medical team. I then also run clinics. So these clinics at the moment consist of 2-week wait lower GI fast track clinics. And these are suspected cancer referrals that we receive from GP. we were actually utilised as the first physician associates in the region, actually I think in the country, to be used to deliver a service like this, and a service like this that was conventionally delivered by specialty doctors, registrars and consultants. We've actually presented data about this at international conferences, which has been really successful and has also aided other physician associates working in specialties like this to also deliver services like this. I've also taken a keen interest in research, starting to run cytosponge clinics. And these are clinics that are for suspected upper GI cancer patients who are referred with common symptoms such as difficulty swallowing or painful swallowing. It's basically to decrease the strain on the amount of referrals we get for patients that need endoscopies. And essentially what this is it's a sponge that looks a bit like a toilet brush cleaner. Patients swallow it and then it is carefully withdrawn from the patient's esophagus. And as it does that, it takes essentially a biopsy of the cells on the surface of the esophagus. And if there are any cancerous changes as a result of that procedure, then the patient would then undergo an endoscopy. If they don't, then they don't need to have an endoscopy. It's a great way to filter through this. And that's a trial that I'm helping deliver at the moment. Alongside this, I also facilitate on-calls within the surgical same-day ambulatory care unit. And that's where I see referrals from both A&E and primary care. And again, filter through whether patients need to be admitted or can have investigations whilst sitting in the what we call the SDEC unit. I also have taken on a keen role within leadership within the trust, and I'm a physician associate, a representative for the trust alongside another colleague, and we partake in several kind of stakeholder meetings. We discuss physician associate protocols such as blood transfusion, inserting nasogastric tubes and verifying death, and we work alongside the directors of the trust to ensure that physician associates are included in all of the protocols and documents.
Wow, that sounds awesome. Really varied job plan then.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's partially due to the fact I have a very supportive consultant supervisor who is extremely progressive and wants me to develop my role outside of my clinical duties. So it really helps having somebody like that alongside you.
Cool. Some of the things I was thinking about asking whether physician associates in surgery get involved with was around theatre. So are there roles for PAs in preoperative clinics and getting into theatre itself to do any of the surgery?
So I think this is very trust and division specific. I think prior to the pandemic, I had ample amounts of theatre experience. But due to the pandemic and obviously the reduction in theatre lists and just theatre lists as a whole, especially elective surgery, the opportunities to go into theatre have been much less. And unfortunately, you have to let surgical trainees who obviously need the numbers in order to pass their year, etc., and develop into the next year, go for these theatre opportunities. So at the moment, there aren't many, but I know this is on the increase, and there are definitely PAs that are solely employed as theatre first assistants and go on to develop their role and do more courses. So I think there is a role for it. I myself do not have a role in it.
One of the questions I was thinking about, if perhaps there's any service managers or consultants, people like that in a position to think about hiring physician associates into their general surgery departments might be listening to this. One of the questions or concerns they might have would be around sort of supervision and governance for the physician associates. Sounds like you're sort of involved in some of the clinical leadership around that. How does it work in practice?
So I think it's really important to understand that a physician associate needs good supervision, and by that, it means they need a good consultant supervisor who understands the scope of their practice, who can then relay that information to the rest of the surgical team. Now, there is a huge influx of members of the extended surgical team, like I mentioned before, coming into surgical divisions to help with workforce barriers and increasing training opportunities for surgical trainees, etc. I think it's really important that if you have a good supervisor who understands the limitations of your practice and understands that, you know, for example, I can deliver a lower GI cancer clinic, but at times I might not be able to request certain investigations such as a CT, for them to then make the provisions to understand that whilst I'm delivering this clinic, to have somebody available who's able to action these requests at the same time. It's those little things that you need in order to have to deliver a successful service. And inevitably that will then lead to retainment and job satisfaction of a PA within a surgical specialty. So I think it's really important for any surgical PA that's working at the moment to have a really good relationship with their consultant supervisors, with their service managers and directors. And again, also to be involved in kind of hospital communication to increase awareness of the role, so that people within the hospital, even if they're working in different divisions and areas, understand the limitations of your practice. As PAs, due to our lack of regulation, which hopefully is soon to be resolved by the GMC, but we're forever waiting, we are unable to prescribe, and this means we are unable to prescribe ionizing radiation, such as requesting x-rays and CT scans. And we also work under the direct supervision of a consultant supervisor. Now, I say direct, this can be defined and interpreted in several ways. I work I guess the more experienced you get, the more indirect the supervision becomes. But to start with, you definitely need direct supervision and to have a really good consultant supervisor who understands the scope of your practice and enables you to develop.
In practical terms, how much of a problem is it, the lack of being able to prescribe medicines or order an x-ray or a CT?
There are ways around it. So, for example, I mentioned the clinics that we run. We have designated people on call, so for example, registrars or consultants who are able to help us with requesting certain investigations if we're not able to. But again, you sometimes feel like you're a burden on them, and they understand that that's the limitation of your role, and they're more than happy to accommodate and fulfill these requests for you. But you can't help but think, why can't I do this? But there are ways around it, and there's many surgical PAs that are working in specialties and are overcoming this. And I think one of the things my consultant says that always sticks out to me is that prescribing is only a very minute aspect of a job of a doctor. There's so many other things that a doctor does. And that's what PAs can do. If you think about it, a consultant will go on a ward round and they will, ask for other tasks that don't involve prescribing. And they know that the PA will be able to fulfill those tasks purely because they are the continued member of the team and understand how to do it. And yes, the prescribing maybe will be allocated to a member of the extended surgical team, such as the ACP or a doctor, etc., who can fulfill that task. But it just goes to show that, you know, you don't need to just prescribe. Prescribing is a very small aspect of the job, and there are many ways around it, and that shouldn't put potential stakeholders off at trying to recruit PAs, because we are a great asset to the team. We're very valued by our consultant colleagues, registrars and junior members of the team, who really, really appreciate our existence and contribution within the team, because we are a great resource to them, and I hope that we continue to be.
Okay, brilliant. That's really interesting to find out a bit more. It sounds like physician associates aren't the only new kids on the block in surgery, and I think you use the term the extended surgical team. So it covers other roles like surgical care practitioners and advanced clinical practitioners. Can you just explain a little bit about how PAs fit in amongst those other non-doctor roles in the surgical team?
Of course. So I was actually recently invited to chair a session on the barriers that extended members of the surgical team face as the physician associate representative. And alongside that, I met other members of the EST, should we call it. And there are surgical care practitioners. They mainly work within theatre. And then we have advanced care practitioners who work very similarly to PAs within surgery. Although recently, HEE have helped develop a career pathway and curriculum for them, which has massively helped with their development. Something I hope that PAs within surgery will have it soon. Collaboratively, we all work together to, I guess, you know, deliver the same outcome, which is to provide excellent patient care. I myself work with some excellent ACP colleagues, and it's quite a rare thing actually for a surgical unit to have both PAs and ACPs. Normally you find that a specialty would go for either one or the other. But again, I have this very progressive consultant colleague who is just very pro, including members of the EST within their division. And therefore, I myself and my ACP colleague within the upper GI team do a lot of collaborative work, and that we should move away from just having either one or the other. And that if we utilise all members of the extended surgical team, then collaboratively we can improve patient care and better outcomes for patients as well.
With the pandemic having paused so much of the routine surgery, there must be a huge backlog for the surgical divisions to catch up on. I guess it's all hands on deck, really, isn't it? And the more skilled members of the team you have, it might be working in slightly different ways to where we were 10 years ago, but it's all going to be part of the recovery and the catch-up.
You're absolutely right. You know, and that's going to mean that members of the extended surgical team, such as PAs, are going to be utilised, and hopefully it will create a bespoke place for them in theatre lists and perhaps develop their career inside theatres as well. So I think at the moment that the focus has been on PAs working outside of theatre, and I think that's largely due to governance and lack of regulation. But hopefully with regulation and the need, so many patients waiting for operations, and inevitably we are going to have to utilise ourselves and other members of the EST to help deliver this service. So for example, PAs come from varied backgrounds and routinely aren't already healthcare professionals. Some maybe, but we're not depleting kind of the nursing roles that already exist. PAs are kind of, as we say, fresh from a start. They, you know, PAs go to a medical school. They are not trained on the job. They are trained kind of under the medical model, which means that they go to a university, perhaps in a medical school, alongside student placements. It's very much like the medical model that medical students also learn from. And I think that really helps in terms of understanding differential diagnosis. And I think being taught using the medical model also helps with kind of lateral thinking. I think the medical model enables us to practice that from an early onset. So I think PAs are very holistic in general in terms of surgical specialties. They can deliver a range of services within a certain specialty.
And obviously there's the Royal College of Surgeons of England, and there's the Royal College Surgeons of Edinburgh. Yes. Yeah. How supportive are they as organisations with physician associates coming into surgery?
So I hear that they're very supportive, and I think that's largely due to the existence of ACPs and SCPs already, who form subgroups within the colleges, and I think that's really helped with increasing awareness of physician associates within the colleges. The colleges also hold many events for members of the extended surgical team where PAs are invited to join. And I think it's really important that they understand that these roles exist, because they understand the need for collaborative work and to help with continuously developing our roles.
What does the future hold for you as a PA, where you are in general surgery, but also, I guess, more widely, is there anything you can see on the horizon for PAs?
So I really anticipate that PAs will have a clearly defined role within surgical teams and a bespoke career pathway and curriculum to follow, just like other members of the EST already do. And hopefully that will mean taking on kind of more advanced clinical duties, perhaps taking on kind of more complex clinics, perhaps being utilised onto kind of a senior house officer rota or even red rota. Delivering more kind of senior-led clinics, such as clinics that registrars deliver. I also hope that perhaps surgical ambulatory care, where there'll be less input needed from the registrar who is on call. And I also think that there will be an opportunity for PAs within theatre and hopefully carrying out minor surgeries, just like some surgical care practitioners and ACPs do at the moment. I think maybe one of the other things is that I think we've already touched on it, but kind of developing the role of a PA outside of their specialty. So kind of getting involved in kind of clinical leadership, making sure that PAs are included in kind of hospital communication, and just having kind of that regular contact so that people and patients are aware of the PA profession as a whole.
It's so important to raise the profile and for PAs to remember that they might be the first PA that a consultant or a patient or a nurse or a ward clerk or anybody, they may be the first PA that they come across, and first impressions will stick.
And I think we have that additional responsibility as somebody, you know, as somebody who is part of a new profession, and, you know, with the hope that we want to grow our profession, I think it is really important that we try and sort for these opportunities and take them on with great pride. And we are growing in numbers, in talent, and there's so many more PAs that are coming through the system right now who are developing their role outside of their clinical duties and taking on extra roles. And I just hope that we continue to do this and strive for the best. Like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I have developed a surgical WhatsApp group where I'm trying to include all members of surgical PAs working in all specialties within the UK. And hopefully this is helping with a lot of work that we're doing through the Faculty of Physician Associates and the Royal Colleges. And hopefully this will develop into creating more CPD events and generally other things. It's a great platform that we use for conversing with other surgical PAs, kind of talking about any problems we have or issues. And it's a great way of communicating. So if you are a surgical PA and you're not part of it, please do get in touch. And we also have a Physician Associate Ambassador Yorkshire Twitter page, which I'm more than happy to receive any direct messages from.
Thank you. Perfect. And I'll leave the details of the WhatsApp group and the Twitter page that you've mentioned and your email address in the show notes below, so people can find them on the episode notes there. Thanks so much for joining me. And thanks to you for listening as well. I hope that that was really useful for you to find out more about how physician associates work in general surgery. If you're a physician associate in the UK working in a cool surgical specialty and you'd like to come on the PA podcast, please get in touch. We're on social media at PA Podcast UK. And I hope you'll join me again for the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Physician Associate Podcast.